I can do.
I can do
all things.
All things.
Because Christ strengthens me.
Because Christ strengthens me.
I'm chosen.
I'm chosen.
I'm a royal priest.
I'm a royal priest.
I'm part of a holy nation.
I'm part of a holy nation.
I'm a peculiar person.
I'm a pure person.
I'm called out.
I'm called out
to show forth His glory.
To show forth His glory.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. I'm a king's kid.
A king's kid.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I cannot be defeated.
Cannot be defeated.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you see that? Do you see yourself victorious? Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we wait on you for this moment. And Lord, we thank you for moving in our midst, doing what only you can do. We yield ourselves to you right now in this moment, Father. And we believe in you. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you make all things good. Say this. Say, the Lord, perfects that which concerns me.
That which concerns me.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you may have your seats. Praise God. Glory be to God forevermore. Well, you're in the right place tonight. You're not here by coincidence, but you're here because God brought you here. And He's got something for you. Because our God is good. And I want to encourage you that as the Lord lays it on your heart and leads you, you can give your offerings anytime in the container in the back there. You have a check, make it out to VCF. And you know, why is it great to have opportunities to give? Because isn't that how God saved us? For God so loved the world that He what? He gave. Now, you got to look at it from God's perspective. When He's looking at the world at this time was messed up. We let the devil gain control of the world system. And thank God that He's on a short lease. His lease is about to run out when the Lord comes back. So every time we have an opportunity to give, we do it because God's a giver and it pleases God. Amen? You say, well, what if I don't have anything? God never asks you for what you don't have. So Heavenly Father, thank you for a good offering that honors you, that blesses you. And I pray a blessing, Father, over every gift and over every giver. Lord, multiply it to use in your kingdom. Meet their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, let your goodness and your grace be poured out abundantly upon them in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Acts 18 for a minute. And we want to crank up the heat a little bit. Ready to crank up the heat? You know, it's amazing when God gives you a nugget. When He gives you a little bit, what you can do with the little that God gives you. Amen? And I just felt led to talk about a person named Apollos. Anybody hear of Apollos before? If you go to Acts chapter 18, verse 24... And Paul was in Corinth, and he stayed there for a year and a half, year and 6 months. And there was a character there named Apollos, and in verse 24, it says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus." So we know some things here about Apollos. Okay, he was born in Alexandria. That was a city in Egypt. And we know that he was a Jewish person. And he did a lot with a little. And he was open for more. Are you open for more? All right. That's one person. Are you open for more? For God to show you more? For God to do more in your life? For you to have more revelation so that you can help people in a greater way? Ultimately, God wants to use every one of you to help others. That's why he blesses you, so that you can bless others. Amen? And so to be an eloquent man, he was an expressive speaker. I don't know what that's like. He was fluent. He was articulate. He was passionate. When he spoke from the heart. Okay? And he expressed himself well. His words were moving and forceful. Now you compare that with Moses. When God first started talking to Moses in Exodus 4, what was one of his excuses of why God couldn't use him? He said, I cannot speak. Sounded to me like he was talking pretty good. Now, isn't that interesting how a man who was raised in Pharaoh's court, he was raised to be a king. I'm sure that he had speech class. But yet, when God wanted him to do something, his mindset was that he couldn't speak. And God's answer to his ability that says, I cannot speak, he said, I made man's mouth. If I can make man's mouth, I can repair man's mouth. God was saying, Moses, don't worry if you can't speak. I can fix it so you can. Okay? Now this word here, when it says, mighty in scriptures. What scriptures is he talking about here? The Old Testament, right? Because at this time, the New Testament hadn't been written. So he was strong in the law of Moses. Maybe he was strong in the prophets. But they didn't have a New Testament. Okay? So Apollos was strong in what he knew. You know, the entrance of God's word gives light, and it shines on the inward parts. And God wants every one of us to walk in the light that you have. And if you walk in the light that you have, then you can receive more light so that you can walk in more of it. Amen? That's how God's kingdom works. So, how can you be strong in Scripture? Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, we have no excuse as to why we shouldn't be strong in the Scriptures either. Amen? Do you realize we have more information than Apollos had? We have more information than Timothy had. Timothy didn't have a New Testament, although he had a Paul. And God made it possible where we could have that information too. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verses 15 through 17. And that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. Is kids' church important? Absolutely. It is important to teach kids scriptures. You know something I do with Josiah when he likes to cry a little bit? Doesn't happen to him. But I'll sit him on my lap and I will literally read scriptures to him. First of all, I'll quote them. And then when I run out of things to quote, then I read to him. And it's amazing. Every time I've done this, he calms down. It's like a peace comes over him. But notice this. That from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. Do you realize when you get born again, you're considered a child of God? And as a child of God, you can learn the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice that the Scriptures are able to make you wise to salvation through Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's read on. All Scripture is given by who? By God, by inspiration of God. He breathes life into every word that's written. This book is alive. It's alive. How much Scripture? All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. What is the Scripture profitable for? For doctrine or for teaching? There's no preacher should say, I don't have anything to preach. Why? You got something that's profitable for teaching. Okay? Just teach the Word. It's profitable for reproof. For correction. Now, everybody loves to be corrected, don't we? But listen, correction is profitable. If you're going the wrong way, wouldn't you want to go the right way? Well, you going the wrong way may be the only way that you know at that time, until someone comes along and shows you a better way or a different way. Say, hey, I like that way. Then you can get on the right way. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? That word perfect means mature. It doesn't mean that there's no imperfections. Because until you get a glorified body, there's going to be imperfections, there's going to be weakness. Okay? And thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hebrews 4 tells us that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can discern thoughts and intents of the heart. You cannot hide your motive from God, from God's Word. God can read you like a book. He knows your heart. He knows you better than you know yourself. And only the Word of God can divide the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow. And the joints and the marrow. And, you know, God actually wants His commands to be in your heart. He has designed you to be a divine carrier for His commands. You can be a command center for God. The only way that you're going to overcome challenges is to be skillful in His Word. All right? If the Word is like a sword, and it is, then you got to be skilled in yielding that sword or wielding that sword, right? This will make sense here in just a minute. Psalm 119:11, you don't have to turn there. But it says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you don't want to sin against God, then you got to hide his word in your heart. That word hide, it doesn't just mean to put it there. It means you got to be able to retrieve it too. That means to memorize it. That means to know it. You got to be able to know it. If you don't want to sin against God, you got to hide it in your heart. He made your heart the safest place for his word. Where do we get this? Apollos was mighty. He was mighty in Scripture in the Old Testament. Do people say that you're mighty in Scripture? Is that how you're known? Are you strong in Scripture? Oh, I don't know. It might need some reinforcement. You know, when something is weakened, you can reinforce it. Amen? God wants you to be reinforced tonight. He wants you to become a word machine. You can be a dictation machine for God. You were created to speak his word. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on who? All flesh, and my sons and my daughters shall what? You know what prophesy means? To speak, basically. Say, I can prophesy. That means to speak under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Why is it important to speak under the unction of the Holy Ghost? Because there's things that you need to talk to. When a mountain has gotten in your way, if I'm walking down this path, and my goal is to get to that door, and there's a mountain in my way, there's an obstacle. It's preventing me from going to where I need to go. The Bible says I can speak to that mountain. So prophesying is important. Being able to speak the word of God is important. Jesus did it all the time. He spoke to storms, and they ceased. He spoke to dead men, and they came out of the grave. He spoke to plants, and they disintegrated. He spoke to a man who had a withered hand, and he said, stretch forth your hand, and the man was able to stretch forth his hand. And because you're in God's image, you can do the same thing that he did. Come on. But people are so negative-oriented today. Because you're bombarded with negativity 24 hours a day. You know, people are programmed. The devil wants people to be programmed to negativity. And it comes out. Okay? Let's go back to Acts 18, 24. God wants to do what he did in Apollos through you tonight. You can be like an Apollos. Okay, what else does the Bible say about him? Verse 25. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. How many know in life there's a way to go? There is a way that seems right unto man, but what? In the end, it leads to what? Death. Listen, don't waste your time going down a dead-end road. What do we do in the natural about dead ends? We put signs up, no outlet here. Right? That means if you go there, there's only one way in and one way out. If you keep on going, it's a dead end. It goes to nothing. And too many times we lead our lives and we end up at a dead end road before we knew it was a dead end. Until you can't go any further. And you wonder, why? How did I get here? Because we weren't instructed in the way. He was instructed of the way of the Lord. Jesus is the what? The way. He'll teach you the way. Go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 14. There's something about Apollos that God wants to do in us tonight. Mark 12, verse 14. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that you are true, and you care for no man, for you regard not the person of men, but you teach the way of God in truth. If you're faced with a decision that you got to make, and the decision involves what direction you want to go, you want to make sure that you get the right directions so that you're going the right way, right? The only right way for you is God's way. It's not man's way. Some people go the way of their feelings. Well, I feel this or I feel that. We sang about it tonight. Faith is greater than your feelings. Your feelings are simply indication lights. You know, like on a dashboard, if you got a check engine light, you got a turn signal to let you know which direction you're going to turn, or you got your brake lights to let you know that you're stopping. A feeling is simply an indication. But a feeling is not a leader, nor is it a guide. You need to know the way. John the Baptist said he came to prepare the way of the Lord. Okay? Go back to Acts 18. Are you getting something tonight? It's just the Holy Ghost led me here. You know, sometimes you don't know why you're there. You just have to go there by faith. You might see the why later. Okay? So he was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit. Remember I told you about turning up the heat? Fervent. To be fervent in spirit is to turn up the heat in your spiritual walk. Some of you need to turn up the heat in your spiritual walk. Amen. You've been letting things slide by. You know, I know that some people may label us as holy rollers. One guy told another guy, he said, you're a holy roller. And the guy looked at him and said, well, I'd rather roll into heaven than slide into hell. But that's just a little joke. He was fervent in spirit. What does that mean? He was eager. He was enthusiastic. He had a lot of zeal. He was excited. When you said, let's go witnessing, he said, yeah, let's go, let's go. He said, we're going to have a prayer service. Yeah, let's pray. He said, we're going to have a worship service. Yeah, let's worship. See, I'm being excited, enthusiastic. I got a lot of zeal, passion. He was fervent in spirit. You know, the Lord says in Revelation 3:16, he said, you could be hot or cold. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, because he said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. A lukewarm thing, it blends in with the atmosphere around it, and there's no difference. Something that is lukewarm would be about the room temperature. It blends in with its environment. You know what? We're not to blend in with the world. We're to stand out. We're to be different. We're to be like salmon swimming up the river in spawning season. They go against the current. That's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be missionaries to our generation. Why did God put you here at this time? To be a missionary to this generation. And he's equipped you with everything you need to be a witness for him. We got to be witnesses. We cannot be silent witnesses. If a witness never testified in court, think about that. How many convictions would there be? To be fervent in spirit, go to Romans chapter 12. Just the next book over. Romans chapter 12. We need some fervent believers with some fervent faith, with some boldness to step out into the unknown, to break out of our comfort zones. We need to break out of some comfort zones. We've got to reach out to people. Romans 12, verses 11 and 12. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Prayer is instant. Just add trouble. No, you shouldn't just pray. You shouldn't just pray when there's trouble. We should pray because we love God. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. So we need to, the Amplified says, never lag in zeal. Be earnest in endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. Some of us have lost our glow. We haven't maintained the glow. How do you maintain the glow? You can only glow in His presence. When we spend time in His presence, you will come out looking different. You'll come out with the glory of God on you. I remember one time I was in a time of prayer, and then we were meeting some friends, and we were outside on a picnic table, and they kept looking at me. They were looking at me, and I said, like, what are you looking at? They said, you're like glowing. I guess I was glowing, and I didn't even have a suntan. You know, Peter tells us to have a fervent love for one another. Do you have a fervent love for the body of Christ? A passionate, zealous love for each other. We got to be fervent in spirit. Let's go back to Acts 18. What else was this person, Apollos? Look at this. Verse 25. He spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Some of you may think that you can't say anything because you don't know enough. You know what the baptism of John was about? Repentance. John, he didn't baptize people in the Holy Ghost. The only person who got baptized in the Holy Ghost in John's ministry was Jesus. But his ministry was basic. It was a message of repentance. That's all Apollos knew. But yet, he took what he knew and he was diligent with it. He took the little that he knew and he used it. He practiced it. You know, he didn't rely on the crutch, I don't know enough. Get off that crutch. Let me break that crutch in half. When you say, oh, well, I don't know enough. Well, you can learn, can't you? The Bible says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and abradeth not. If you don't know, You don't have to stay unknowing. You can ask. You can ask the Holy Spirit. You can ask someone else who knows. You can ask the Lord. You can go to the Scriptures. You can Google it. I've known a lot of things. I've learned a lot of things by Googling it. Oh. But the point is, he spoke diligently, only knowing the baptism of John. Okay? Let's read on. Verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Now you got to understand, he was an eloquent speaker. So he took what he knew and he was able to communicate it. What are you doing with what you know? Did you know that God gives you information for two things? Two reasons. He gives you information to help you and to help someone else. Why do they call a Dead Sea the Dead Sea? Anybody know? It doesn't have an outlet. All it has is an inlet. If all you're doing is taking in information and not giving out information, then you could become like a Dead Sea. Now, there are many ways to give out what you know with someone else. You can smile. You can be kind to them. You can. There's all kinds of ways. My point is, Apollos did this with only knowing a little bit. His knowledge was limited, but he was using what he knew to the fullest. It didn't stop him because he said, I didn't know. That wasn't an excuse. And he started to get bolder. Now, look at the middle part of verse 26. When Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. Now, here's a characteristic about Apollos. He was teachable. He was doing the best with what he knew to do. He was using the information that he had to the fullest that he could use it. Then Aquila and Priscilla, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized with fire. And they heard Apollos and they said, this man's got something. And then they took him aside and they taught him a better way. They showed him the way of God more perfectly, more completely. And he took this information and he became even better for it. He grew. We ought to be growing spiritually. We never stop growing spiritually. We never stop growing in grace. Or growing in the knowledge of God. God wants you to know more things about Him today, tomorrow than you knew today. We've got to increase in our growth, in our spiritual growth. We can't let ourselves get stagnant. Be open when there's a better way of doing things. Too many times we get stuck in the old way. Apollos could have said, well, this is the way that I know. This is how we've always done it. Yeah, but they were showing him a better way. They weren't saying that his way was bad. They were just showing it's an easier way. It's better directions. It'll get you to where you want to go quicker. How many want to get to where you want to go quicker? Then we need to be like Apollos. Verse 27. When he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convince the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. He became even more effective than what he was. God wants to increase your effectiveness. We ought to be people of power. But too many times, the body of Christ lacks power. And it's because maybe we haven't grown enough. Maybe we've stopped growing. But here was Apollos. All he knew was the baptism of John, and he was out there. He was sharing with people repentance. I mean, if you got around Apollos as a sinner, you might be uncomfortable. Boy, he's a radical telling me to repent. Yeah, but that's what he knew. What do you know that you can help someone with? And pray that God would open doors of opportunity for you to help someone with the information that you have. No person is an island to themselves. What are you doing with what you know? How is it changing you? If it's not changing you, how's it going to change someone else? We need some people who are willing to believe God no matter what. And because you're willing to believe God, you're willing to step out. And even if you mess up or make a mistake, yeah, you're going to make a mistake. So what? Just get up, brush the dust off, and do it again. And the more you do it, the better you'll get at it. The more you witness. You just got to get over the first hump. You got to confront the things that are telling you you can't. Go with me to Romans 12. Romans 12. Notice what it says in verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. When you beseech someone, what are you doing? It's like a strong request. You're pleading. Who's he talking to? The brethren. By the mercies of God, that you present your what? Your bodies. What kind of a sacrifice should your body be? A living sacrifice. Holy. Your body is holy. Say this. Say, I have holy hands. I have holy ears. They only listen to what's right and true and just and lovely. Go ahead and say that. They only listen to what's right, what's true, what's lovely, what's a good report. Why? Because your ears are holy. Your bodies, as you present them to God, He accepts them. They're acceptable unto God. Which is your unreasonable service? God just asked too much of you. It's just too hard to present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Is it? No, it's reasonable. It's your spiritual act of worship. Your body contains you. You are not your body. Your body is the house you live in. Okay? And be not conformed to this world. How are you going to be different from the world? What's going to set you apart from the world? Sin's going to set you apart from the world? What's going to set you apart from the world? What's going to make you different than the world? Jesus, what else? Holy Spirit, what did you say? The way we speak? Absolutely. But you know what? We're going to have to get a different picture of our situation and of who we are. I think Apollos did that. He was baptized with John's baptism. He got a picture of that. He got a hold of it. He started to live it. He started to practice it. He started to do it. And then they gave him another picture. Oh, you can have the... Just imagine Apollos baptized with the Holy Ghost. He was already fervent. Now he's radical times 10. Because he embraced the different picture about himself. He saw himself as someone that could... And look at the effect that he had on the body of Christ. We're at a point in time when we got to kick it up a notch, maybe two notches, put it in high gear, right? Put the steak in the pressure cooker versus the oven. You know, that pressure cooker, it cooks the meat quicker, doesn't it? I don't know. Does the pressure cooker make things quicker, or does it take longer? It makes it quicker. Why? Because it applies extra pressure. Sometimes we need to apply some pressure to some things in our spiritual life. And the way you do that is you make yourself do what your body doesn't want to do. If you're having a bad day, I mean, things are going wrong over here. Things are going wrong over here. And you get home and you're like, oh, what a day. Find a room and make yourself laugh. Well, I don't feel like laughing. Didn't ask you what you felt like. Make yourself laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. How about dance? Make yourself dance. But see, we don't see that. We want to feel it before we dance. We want to feel the good before we dance. That's not how you do it. When you dance, then you'll start to feel good. But you got to dance first. You got to step out first. You know, Paul said about Apollos, he said, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In other words, Apollos added to what Paul did, not in a bad way, in a good way. Paul planted the seed, he plowed the ground, but Apollos came and he watered it. The seed was already planted. The hardest part is planting. It's a lot easier to water than it is to plant. But doesn't matter if you plant or you water, God gives the increase. Amen? So Apollos was a waterer. Some people in Corinth, they started to follow Apollos. They said, I follow Paul. And another person said, I follow Apollos. And Paul said, I'm thankful that I didn't baptize any one of you. Because his point was, you got to follow Christ. Preachers can come and go, but Christ will always be there. Who are you following? When a preacher falls, are you going to have a bad day? Are you going to fall too? That's no excuse to fall, you know. You better be following Christ. Paul even said, follow me as I follow Christ. Because he knew that he could make mistakes. And he said, don't follow me when I make a mistake. Follow me as I follow Christ. God wants to put, see, Paul and Apollos were like Joshua and Caleb in the old days. They were of a different spirit. God wants you to be of a different spirit. Tomorrow, when you go about your day, something's going to be different about you. There's going to be an impartation that was given to you by the Holy Spirit. You're going to go to work. You're going to feel different. You're going to look different. You're going to act different. How many are ready to do that? You're ready to embrace what God wants you to do wherever you're at for the time being. It doesn't matter where you're at. You got to be who God called you to be where you're at. And when you be who God calls you to be where you're at, then he'll move you to where he needs you to be. But until you are what God wants here, he'll never move you here. I tried. I moved from state to state and still had this. Didn't matter where I was, I still had the same test. My location didn't change the fact that I had to deal with something in my heart. And until I dealt with what was in my heart and made it right, God was never going to move me forward. God wants to move you forward, but before he does, he wants to deal with the things on the inside of you. He wants to deal with the bad images that you've had of yourself, which come out in the words you speak about yourself, which come out in the reasons you give yourself why you don't act on what God told you to act on. There are no excuses. So I believe God wants to impart a different spirit into you tonight. He wants to light a fire, so to speak, in your heart. He wants to set your heart ablaze with the glory of God. One touch from the master's hand, one breath from his mouth can do that. He can ignite something on the inside of you. Let God flick your Bic tonight. You know, the Bic lighter. One spark is all you need, is a spark to start a fire. One spark can set your heart ablaze. God wants to set your heart ablaze tonight. I believe that there's someone here, or maybe more than one, God just wants to set you ablaze tonight. Not in a bad way, in a good way. It's like he wants you to be like the space shuttle. When the space shuttle takes off, there's an explosion. And there's a lot of, that explosion causes fire, which moves the space shuttle forward. That space shuttle wouldn't move if there wasn't an explosion. God wants to do an explosion in you tonight. I don't know, there's some fire here tonight. Let's start a forest fire tonight. All of you are trees. Let's set this forest on fire tonight. Amen? God wants to set you on fire tonight. He starts with kindling. Then he'll add more wood to cause you to burn brighter. You'll be warmer. It'll be hotter. Are you ready for increase? If you want that increase tonight, if you want that ablaze tonight, if you want God to do that work on the inside of you, I just want to invite you up right now. In this moment, I believe that God can touch you. All right? I want you, when you prayed for, I want you to see God touching you. And there's going to be a Holy Ghost spark that's going to ignite something on the inside of you. 10, 9. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Take off in Jesus' name. Oh, Father. Breathe on her right now, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Father, ignite her heart right now. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, just fill her up, Lord. Just touch her right now. Father, ignite this heart. Set him ablaze with the glory of God and the goodness of God, Father. Ignite within him, Father, a passion for the things of God in Jesus' name. A greater increase. Thrust him forward, Father, into what you have planned for him. Yes, you're a masterpiece. God's plan, he's designed you for good works that he's prepared beforehand that you should walk in. Father, right now, ignite within him that flame and that fire. Set him ablaze in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Father, she came here tonight maybe not knowing what to expect. Lord, I know that you've got something for her. You've got exactly what she needs right now. So, Father, I ask you to ignite within her, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Father, just begin to burn in her like a flame of fire. Father, make her a flame of fire. You minister to her, a flame of fire. Breathe on her, Holy Spirit, right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fill her. Father, let her know that your power is awesome and real. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Just let her experience your power and your goodness. Father, we release the fire of God. The fire! Let it burn, Lord. Let it burn. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Don't let the fire die down. Lord, we thank you for moving in our midst. Lord, for deepening our walk with you. For drawing us closer to you, Lord. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Ah, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yeah. Yes. Father, I just release the fire of God in the name of Jesus. Father, let your fire burn. Like a blacksmith shop. Father, I fan that flame in the name of Jesus. As we press the billows and it blows air and the flame becomes brighter and brighter and brighter. So when they dip the metal into the heat, it can be shaped, formed into what it needs to be. Yes, Father, use the heat in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God.
See your face and say,
hallelujah.
Lord, send the rain. Need you to pour out your spirit.
So tomorrow,
let the fire fall.
When you wake up,
fall fresh on me.
Put your eyes on the Lord. Listen to what he has to say and just do it. You know, he may just give you something, a nugget, a truth, a revelation. He may just show you something. I'm not here to say what he's going to do, but I want you to be expecting. Expect to be different. And you know what? You don't even have to wait till tomorrow. Right now. And you walk, just embrace that difference. Celebrate your difference. Amen? And if people call you crazy, well, they called Jesus crazy too. They called him a wine bibber and a glutton and all kinds of things. But don't let people's opinion shake you. The only opinion that you need to be concerned about is what does God think about you? You are what... Just embrace what God thinks about you. He loves you. Amen. Have a great night. Thanks for coming tonight. God bless you.